Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vinlast Biotech Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Vinlas, Managing Director at Vinlast Biotech Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our financial results for quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2022. We have uploaded the press release and investor presentation on our website as well as on the exchanges, and I hope everyone has gotten an opportunity to go through it. I would like to discuss key company highlights for 9 months and Q3 FY23, followed by financial highlight of the company, which shall be shared by our now CEO and CFO, Ms. Komal Gupta. The 9 months revenue for FY23 was 372.4 crores, up 8% from the same period in FY22. Revenue in Q3 of FY23 expanded by 2% year-on-year. Growth in EBITDA margins was seen over the past 9 months and quarter and stood at 11.8% and 11.7% respectively, indicating efficient cost management and resilience against input price volatility. For the quarter as a whole, growth was strong across the verticals, with exports and trade generics each recording growth of 124% and 42% YOY. Degrowth in CDMO sector, however, meant that overall growth was relatively stagnant. The second half of the calendar year of 2022 saw a surge in Indian pharma market growth after a sluggish beginning. However, anti-infectives, especially antibiotics, where our company doesn't have a presence, drove this portion of the expansion in the overall market. Consistent efforts in CDMO sector for us, such as new patent expiry launches, wallet share gains from existing customers, acquisition of new clients, and introduction of distinctive products supported by a superior R&D are all initiatives and focus areas that we are working on to re-energize growth in this vertical. The government's emphasis on quality also bodes well for future of the larger and organized players like Vinlast Biotech in CDMO. Our injectables facility is scheduled to be finished by end of September 2023. Vinlast domestic trade generic business is showing strong and consistent growth, aided by the company's rapidly growing network of distributors. There is still a very large room for expansion and development in the trade generics market. The domestic trade generic sector in India is poised to enter a period of expansion driven primarily by external tailwinds, such as increasing consumer demand for high-quality generics and government initiatives to increase generic adoption and reliance. Internal growth factors also include branding, channel expansion, product introduction, and regional expansion for us. Strong expansion for exports vertical this quarter can be attributed to the company's initiatives such as filing of numerous dossiers and entry into newer, more regulated markets. Board of Directors has authorized a share buyback program to the amount of up to 25 crores as a way to reward the company's shareholders. In total, 387,238 shares were repurchased by the company for rupees 9.88 crores as on 25th January 2023. I am happy to announce Ms. Komal Gupta's appointment as Chief Executive Officer of Windless Biotech. Her expertise and years of experience in the field will be invaluable to the company as it enters its next phase of expansion. In the near future, the company will announce the appointment of a new Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Komal Gupta will continue to serve as the interim CFO until a suitable candidate is appointed. Windless Biotech is committed to a disciplined and prudent capital allocation policy, and we will only invest where we expect to generate the greatest return for our shareholders, while also expanding our business and building a strategic reserve for future inorganic growth opportunities. I will now request Ms. Komal Gupta, our CFO, and now also our CEO, to discuss the financial performance highlights. Over to you, Komal.
Thank you, Hitesh. Good morning, everyone. At the outset, I would like to say that I am grateful to Windless Biotech for giving me this opportunity. My focus would remain on creating value for our shareholders. I, along with Mr. Hitesh Windless and Mr. Manoj Windless, will share joint responsibility and will work together in close coordination for the achievement of greater heights of success. Coming to the financial highlights, for 9-month FY23, consolidated revenue, EBITDA and PAT grew by 8%, 13% and 34% to rupees 372.4 crores, 43.8 crores and 31.2 crores respectively. For Q3 FY23, the same grew by 2%, 7% and 11% to 119.7 crores, 13.9 crores and 9.2 crores respectively. Gross margins for the quarter were 219 bits higher YOY, and comparable EBITDA margins were 56 bits higher at the quarter end. The EBITDA margin increased to 11.7% from 11.1% YOY in Q3 FY23. I'll now take you to vertical-wise highlights, CDMO. 9 months and Q3 FY23 revenue for CDMO vertical stood at 287.9 crores and rupees 85.9 crores, up 2% and down 10% YOY respectively. CDMO vertical contributed approximately 77% and 72% for 9 months and Q3 FY23 respectively to the consolidated revenue. Trade generics, 9 months and Q3 FY23 revenue for trade generics vertical stood at rupees 68.4 crores and 24 crores, up 49% and 42% YOY respectively. Trade generics vertical contributed approximately 18% and 20% for 9 months and Q3 FY23 to consolidated revenue. Exports vertical, 9 months and Q3 FY23 revenue for exports stood at rupees 12.8 crores and rupees 8.4 crores, up 12% and 124% YOY respectively. Export vertical contributed approximately 3 and 7% for 9 months and Q3 FY23 to the consolidated revenue. The total of rupees 153.1 crore raised in the IPO has been allocated to various projects as described in the prospectus, totaling rupees 126.2 crores. The company has already begun ordering necessary equipment for the forthcoming injectables project, which is expected to be completed by end of September 2023. Our net cash position is robust and it has sizable cash reserve for inorganic growth opportunities. The company plans to play a significant role in market consolidation, as has been repeatedly stated. That's all from our side. We can now begin the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Shah from AMTA Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Sir, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, in terms of exports market, what percentage of the share comes from regulated and semi-regulated market? If you can give an outlook on what will be this mix looking going forward.
Look, thank you, Mr. Amit. In exports, currently we are mostly in, the low regulated markets, which is the ROW markets like Vietnam, Southeast Asia and such. We have got recent approvals for South Africa, which comes in the regulated space. There are some small inroads that we are making in CIS countries also in the semi-regulated space. I would say that largely the focus is weighed by the ROW markets.
Okay. Just wanted to understand on the input price.
Yes. Q3, as such, we have seen some decreasing input price volatility. That essentially has also helped us improve margins slightly because once we have lesser volatility, we have better visibility, and then we can take better calls in stocking and in purchase. This trend has been ongoing and to the extent that what we can see, we are not seeing any more volatile situations as was there in the past.
Sir, have you taken any inventory losses on our books?
Inventory losses, as such, we haven't taken any. The regular provisioning that we do, as per the regular accounting practice, that continues as is. No specific losses. However, you will notice that there is an increase in inventory because to manage some fluctuations in the input price, the obvious choices where we know that this is the material that we are going to need, we have been overstocking a bit.
Understood. Do we have any new product approvals and what kind of products do we have in the pipeline?
Yeah, sure. This quarter we have got and are getting several new DCGI approvals in cardiovascular space and even in diabetes. We continue to use these products because for every DCGI approval, you have 4 years of shared exclusivity. Any other competitor who wants to also launch this product will have to also do a DCGI approval process, which means that they have to do a bioequivalence or clinical trial just like we have. This is a shared exclusivity space, and this is the space that we are investing more and more into. We are going to drive our product pipeline, the CDMO space, more and more through this.
Sir, lastly, what is our capacity utilization for this quarter?
Sure.
Our capacity utilization for the quarter is in the range of 42.3%.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Hitesh, have you launched your sacubitril valsartan during this quarter?
So in the current quarter, that means Q4, yes, we are launching. Maybe it'll get shipped either today or tomorrow, Nitin. There was a lot of back and forth in terms of the lawsuit between the innovator, and they got a couple of stays, and then those got vacated. Finally, the innovator was again able to block the actual pentahemihydrate complex. Now the generics are going ahead with the fixed dose combination approach, and that's what Windlass is also planning to support its customers with.
And what kind of opportunity do you see in this molecule? Have any customers?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Agarwal. Can you speak a bit louder because you are not clearly audible in the call, sir?
Give me a second. Hello?
Yeah.
Is it better? Yeah. You're saying how many customers would you be supplying to, and what kind of, what is kind of opportunity do you see around here?
So, Nitin, so earlier, before all the patent back and forth happened, the interest in this was extremely huge. And then some of the large, when the innovator got the patent back, reinstated in the stay on it, some of the large customers decided to postpone and take a wait and watch approach. So my sense is that given the a significant price difference between innovator and what generics are going to launch at, there will be a renewed interest and more people will jump on the bandwagon once the product, generic products come to the market. So we believe that it should be a good product, but because of the patent back and forth between the High Court and the innovator, there has been some hesitancy, which over time we hope should work itself out.
But do you see this being a relevant product for us over the next year or so?
I do.
Okay. And barring sacubitril valsartan, what are the other, how many other major similar sort of larger launches can you sort of foresee over the next year or so?
So, we are typically, our pipeline is, sort of built to have something like about 15 to 16 launches in the whole year. But obviously, it is all dependent on the regulator's approval, in terms of timing, in terms of whether it happens during the year or not. So the number is for the whole year is typically between 15-16 is what we are aiming for.
Okay. And so just to close that, given where this is the pipeline, prima facie, is the pipeline for you attractive enough or meaningful enough for you for us to say maybe get into double-digit growth in the CDMO business next year?
So growth, is going to be a function of, new launches like, from this DCGI approvals, patent expiry molecules. It is also going to be a function of, wallet share increase from existing customers and addition of new customers for existing products. So definitely, our goal is to have a significant, improvement in the growth for CDMO. However, there is a base effect which comes from the volume growth in the overall IPM. If you see, overall IPM growth in Q2, a lot of it was from price increases and new launches where we didn't participate, Q3. And in volume growth also, a lot of it was in the spike in November was from antibiotics. On a quarterly basis, things are harder to predict. But as I've said in the past also, from an annual, basis perspective, we want to aim for double-digit growth in this vertical also.
Okay, thanks. And lastly, on the trade generics, if you can probably just highlight, some of your initiatives and portfolio geographical expansion, and how do you see this segment over the next couple of years?
So this is a, really a very, very big opportunity, and I believe it is the opportunity for not just Windlass, but also for the overall pharma industry as a whole. As I've said in the past also, if you see, there are only about 400 to 450 odd towns and cities in India which have a population of more than 1 lakh. And these are the places where, doctors are there. And branded generic model works very well to have medical reps and feet on the ground. But a huge number of people, almost 70% of India, is living in villages and kasbas, which are more than 5.5 lakh in number. And you cannot target this market of 5.5 lakh villages and kasbas by putting feet on the ground like a medical rep model. So this is where the whole trade generics space is. And even in this trade generic space, there are several companies which are more than 10 times bigger than us. So we believe that there is a very strong rationale for a quality player like Windlass to offer authentic, affordable and accessible drugs in this space. And that's what we are doing, and we are even branding ourselves at the umbrella level, as an affordable, authentic and accessible generics company. So this is where I believe we have a lot of enthusiasm in the company, and we want to take this forward for sure with more gusto.
So we can. So what kind of growth rate do you see this business over the next 3 years? If you were to just hazard a guess here.
So Nitin, you know that we are not providing guidances like that, but. We have been growing at about, 42%, 47% in the past. As we increase in size, obviously the growth will taper off, but I believe it is possible in the long run also to grow 20-25% plus in this vertical.
Okay, thank you.
Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for taking my question. So my first question is on the injectables CapEx. We have done about 23 crores till now. By when are we planning to do the balance 27 crores?
So Neelam, the POs have already been placed and the amount is already committed. We will most likely finish off everything by March 31st. So we will, not most likely, because these are already committed in milestone payments for various purchases.
Got it.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so how long will it take you all to get to the 1.3 times asset turns that you had alluded in the past in this business, injectable facility?
So the facility that we are building, Neelam, is geared towards export markets. Believe that, of course, so there is a period of qualification and then, getting the regulatory approvals for those various markets. I believe that, one and a half to 2 years is a minimum time that a new injectable facility should take to get to its, the asset return ratio number. Especially because, and we want to use this capacity more for exports because it is a high-end facility and it is a, and the margin profile in exports in injectables is far better than margin profile in domestic. So we will have a balance over there. But my sense is that about 2 years is something that one should factor in for any new facility.
Got it. That is helpful. My second question is on the exports business. So since you said that we have already received the South African regulatory approval, have we started supplying there from this quarter?
No. So we are in the final stages of finalizing the artwork and everything with our customer. In fact, just today we have received one more approval in South Africa, but so we are in the final stages for that, and we are hoping that we should be able to commercialize in Q4, but if not, then it will go into Q1.
Got it. What's the growth trajectory that you're looking at for this exports vertical, given FY23 has been a bit muted? So what's the outlook here?
So exports vertical, since the incubation time period for export registrations is much longer, our 5-year aspiration over here was 4x when we started from, we're still at 20 crores roughly. So that's where we are looking to go in about a 4 to 5 year time frame to about 80 crores kind of a number.
Got it. And so on the CDMO business, so our aspiration initially was to double our business in 5 years. And given, our growth has been pretty much muted this year, are we confident to get towards that target that we had set for ourselves during the IPO?
So, I think, Neelam, we believe that, there are a lot of areas of opportunity that we are exploring to bring back the growth, first of all. That is very important. And if we look at in the past also, even a 10-year CAGR has been close to about 13-14% growth in that vertical. So, my sense is that it should be an achievable number in the CDMO segment, over a 3 to 4 year period time frame, the CAGR. How we get there and how we, deliver to this mandate is definitely something that, we are working on. And I believe that target should still remain the same.
Great. That's very helpful. Thank you. That's all from my end.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Parth Vasani from KK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. The first one is I wanted to know what is our current capacity.
Mr. Vasani, may we request you to please speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, sir.
Hello. Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. So my first question was I wanted to know our current capacity utilization level.
Our current capacity utilization, so for quarter three, it was about 42%.
Sorry? About?
For quarter three, it was 42%.
Okay, got it. And my second question was, are we undertaking any new CAPEX in the near future?
So we are currently, obviously, as you know, we are focused on the injectable CAPEX that we are working on. And we have capacity sufficient for, 1.5 year for oral solids as of now. Because, these facilities can go up to a maximum of about, let's say, 65%. So currently in the very near term, we are not. But I believe to achieve our 4-year aspiration, 5-year aspiration, we will need one more expanded unit, unit to get to those numbers.
Okay. Understood. So, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Viraj Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, as you mentioned in the previous answer, the main focus is on injectable facility. Once commercialized, how much it will be contributingly significantly to our domestic CDMO business or exports?
So we feel that, the asset turn on this facility of roughly around 1.2 is in the range point most injectable facilities. We have built the plant keeping, PICS and European standards in mind. As we begin to commercialize in various markets, it'll take time for those regulatory approvals and supplies to start. My sense is that probably the mix will be initially more towards trade generics and CDMO, and then take off for and towards the end of 4 years be more towards exports and less towards CDMO.
Okay. And on the inorganic expansion front, just wanted to understand what kind of companies are we targeting and what kind of synergies are we expecting from that?
Sure. One of the companies that we looked at in this year, actually in the last quarter, was a CDMO player for Europe and Canada markets. And we fortunately found out some adverse information in our quality audits, and we decided not to go ahead with that. But that was fairly large opportunity. There are other opportunities that we are evaluating, which are in the exports vertical for acquisition of market authorizations. There are also areas that we are trying to look at in terms of dosage form assessment, where those dosage forms that are not with us, like ointments or protein powders or products like steroids or hormones. So these are some things that we are looking at. But of course, it depends on the availability of the opportunity and the attractiveness. One thing that we don't want to do is to rush into anything which jeopardizes our very strong balance sheet today. We're very mindful that opportunities will definitely come, having a strong cash position, having a strong is the biggest priority. So that's what we are executing on.
Okay. And sir, on the team side, when we will see new CFO joining our team? Is the recruitment in the process or what is?
Yes, recruitment is under process, and we are evaluating several candidates, going through various rounds of interviews, and my sense is that we want to bring that candidate in soonest possible, but probably at least 3-4 months time is probably expected.
And appointing Komal ma'am as the new CEO, are we looking at any strategy change or something like that?
So what it does is, first of all, Komal has been the CFO of the company for last 6-7 years, and has a very, very strong understanding of the business in various areas, aside from her core area of finance. And so it's a very good perspective to drive the business with someone who has the understanding as well as the knack for the numbers. The idea is also so that once the operation roles is taken up by Komal, it will free up time for both myself and Manoj to have more client engagement, to focus on mergers and acquisitions, and also drive some of our presence in various investor conferences and showcase our work there. So these are all areas that we are looking to improve our presence in, and that's where this change will allow us to do that while the operations are in very strong and good hands.
Yes, understood. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Akash Mehta from Capiz Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I think I had a couple of questions. First one being a little broad. Beyond the FY25 target that you've given, what is the long-term or the longer-term mix that we are targeting in the three verticals?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mehta, could you please repeat your question?
Yeah, I'm just saying, beyond the FY25 target that we've given, what is the longer term mix that we are targeting in the three verticals?
See, one is our trade generics vertical, as we have shared earlier also, is a higher margin vertical for us, because we also partake in the distribution margin, aside from the manufacturing margin. And exports is further better. So definitely for us, the more and more proportion of exports and trade generics in our sales, the more or better bottom line impact for overall, for all shareholders. So that's where we are definitely trying. But this is not to say that we are not emphasizing on the CDMO vertical. We are. And however it is, in that vertical, we don't play in the growth segment due to price increases, because our model is a cost plus model. So while we don't have input price shocks, we also don't participate in the price growth of the Indian pharma market. So that's why these two verticals, export and trade generics, are offering us a very strong opportunity, and we want to continue to push on these. So it's difficult to predict what eventually will be the proportion, but the higher the contribution from these two verticals, the better the bottom line will be.
Correct. That helps. And in terms of a specific question, what is the status of our API pilot facility, if you could just throw some light there?
So it is working. We have been developing a lot of our DCGI and patent expiry products in that API pilot facility. It where we have also been taking commercial batches. It is for the small volume products, up to 10 kg batches that are possible in that manufacturing setup. And they have been helping us in removing dependency in some key strategic materials. It is definitely an area that we continue to utilize fully. However, we don't have any aspiration to expand or buy or get into the API business itself as such. So that's an area. API facility is being only used for strategic purposes.
All right. And just a quick last one. Do we have any patent expiries that we're targeting in our pipeline at the moment?
Yes, definitely. There are several patent expiry products in diabetes that are coming up. More in 23, 24. So there are obviously with this work that is happening along those lines. Linagliptin, canagliflozin, allogliptin. These are some of the subsequent notable ones which are coming up.
All right. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Riya Soni from Soni Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I had two bookkeeping questions. Can you just provide the revenue breakup of complex generics versus the conventional products for 9 months as well as the current quarter?
In 9 months, complex generics percentage has been about 76%.
Okay, and for this quarter?
24% is the claim.
Current quarter also, she's asking.
For the current quarter, it is in the range of 74, almost similar.
Okay, and secondly, what is the top 10 client concentration as on 9 months FY23? Also, where does this number stand for a top customer?
Our top customer is below 10% of the overall percentage, and top 10 for 9 months is about 42%, and for the quarter is less than 40% actually.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Neelam Punjabi from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the follow-up. So my question is on the trade generics. Our growth that we have delivered over the last 2 years has been very strong and much ahead of what we had guided earlier. So just wanted to know on a broader level, 5 years out, what's the kind of potential scale that you see in this business? And is this a key growth driver for us going forward?
Yeah, thanks, Neelam. This is actually, so just to give you some numbers, Cipla trade generics business is, I think, bigger than about 1,500 crores. Laborate, which is a purely trade generics company, also bigger than 1,500 crores. Leafhold, which is also pure trade generics company, nearing something like 1,800 crores. So I believe the opportunity to grow in this segment is really huge. We are hardly going to touch 100 crores this year, maybe a little less. So what we are very mindful of is that when you are working with large number of stockists across the country with a very small sales force, there has to be a very disciplined approach in receivables and the sales that we do. So we are making sure that the health of that business in terms of receivables and working capital is of our prime focus. We do not want to sort of just achieve a sales target and jeopardize this health. But I believe that a very, very large headroom of our growth in this business is possible.
Sure, that's helpful. Also, secondly, by when will our buyback be completed? Given our cash position and valuations are pretty cheap right now for our stock, does it not make sense to do more of buyback?
So, we have 6 months from the time, from November, when we announced the buyback, to finish the buyback as per the regulator. And so now we have whatever 2-3 months remaining. And as you mentioned, we have out of 25 crores, we have only spent so far 9.88, and we will continue to spend. I do want to mention that for us, buybacks and dividends are both very, very important, and we see them as a way in which we can reward all shareholders. The company is generating strong operating cash, and we see both buyback and dividend as ways in which we can continue to hopefully do this. As of now, while we don't have immediate inorganic opportunities, large and immediate or inorganic opportunities in consideration, and this is something that we are looking at going forward also. But that will be the trade-off. If we find something very, very exciting that generates better shareholder returns, then we will deploy the cash, allocate capital to that. Otherwise, of course, dividend is as per dividend policy, but share buyback is also something that we want to continue rewarding all existing shareholders with.
That makes sense. Next, I wanted to touch upon the exports market. So are we keen to get into any new market or any specific market where we want to grow going forward?
Yes, actually, we, as you know, our plant 4 has been approved by Europe, and we have the European GMP certificate. We are looking at ways to, begin supplies to that continent. We are mindful that there has been a lot of price erosion over there also, but there are some good opportunities, and that's an area that we are evaluating of in terms of how to get.
Will you be looking to put your own front end for the exports business, or you know, just work with the distributors in those markets?
So in these markets like Europe, the front end is actually very small. Typically, most companies have, you know, 6 to 7 people only who are contracting and managing the quality and you know, finances and things like that. So it is not something that you know, we would rule out. We want to. It will give us a very strong footing to be able to understand the local, you know, opportunities, and you know, build up portfolio as well as future strategy accordingly. So we will definitely be evaluating some of these.
Got it. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My question is regarding working capital. So if you can share some thoughts, what is the current situation of the working capital? And how will the working capital situation change once the CDMO businesses, reduces in terms of contribution compared to exports and trade generally? So what would be the change in the working capital scenario?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Tiwari, but your voice is not sounding clear, sir. So it is sounding really muffled.
Is it okay now?
Yes. Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my question was regarding working capital. What is the current scenario for working capital, and what will be the changes in working capital once our exports and trade generics contribution increase and CDMO contribution reduces in future?
Our working capital is in the range of around 80-82 days, and we don't see much of a change. So for trade generics, there will be a bit of higher inventory levels. However, for exports, we have lesser number of receivables. For trade generics, number of days for receivables are in the similar range. So we don't see much of a change. Working capital should remain within the range of 70 to 85 days.
Sure. And in terms of exports, what would be the regional mix as of now for exports?
So currently, as I mentioned, Mr. Tiwari, we are more focused in Southeast Asia. That would be the highest concentration. And slowly as these new markets get added, but they will get added over a longer time span. Since the dossiers and approval time span is longer in exports. So over, you know, 3-4 year period, my sense is that we will have, you know, supplies to Europe, we will have supplies to Africa, and of course, to some areas of Middle East and even Southeast Asia. So these are all areas where there is a, you know, demand, and we have the skills and the ability to tap that also. So that's an area that we are trying to build this vertical towards.
And sir, lastly, one question on CDMO. Maybe I have missed the answer. So there has been a decline in CDMO revenues on a YY basis. So what would be the drivers for the decline?
So on a YOY basis, actually, it's a flat, you know, it's a 2% growth. So I would not say it's a decline, but still, you know, it's a flat. And as I mentioned, that there are, you know, the overall IPM growth, Indian pharma market volume growth was in the range of 2 to 3% if you take out the antibiotics growth that happened in November. So there is a base effect where our customers are selling less, right? To some extent, that plays into our order books, and therefore you know, that aspect. However, you know, there is, if you look at, if you remember about Q2, where the overall IPM was still 3 to 4, 5% volume growth, but we delivered a 15% in growth in quarter. So really, my sense is, Mr. Diwali, that we have to see it more on a YTD basis, on an annual basis, because from a quarterly perspective, our while we are at, you know, whatever 400 crores, it is still too small, you know, and the fluctuations can be there due to some new launches happened, some things got postponed, some multinationals not picking up inventory towards December, and various small things. So my sense is that we should look at this more from a YTD basis, and there also I believe that, you know, double-digit growth is possible, and we are working on ways to bring that back.
Sure, sir. And any new customer added in the CDMO business for in the quarter?
Yes. We definitely we have added new customers, but any large noteworthy one? Right. So, no sort of large new customer added in Q3.
Sure, sir. That is it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Komal Gupta, CEO and CFO at Vinlas Biotech Limited, for closing comments.
We wish to thank you, everyone who attended the call from management side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone, and really appreciate the questions.
Thank you. On behalf of Vinlas Biotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.